I'm Kathleen Pearl. Welcome to our study in Hebrews. This is the 10th lesson. We will be starting in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Father Abba, creator of the universe, we come before you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. By the Ruach HaKodesh, I thank you and I praise you, God. You are a loving Father, and you discipline your children and those that you love. And we ask for your corrective disciplines in our lives so that we may know we are truly children of God. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach through me, open up the words of life. And Father, for those who hear, let your anointing come upon their ears and hearts and give them a spirit of understanding into the word made flesh in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Father. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So this is a word of encouragement now. It's saying consider him, which means Yeshua, who faced all kinds of opposition and hostility from sinners. And he's saying this so that we to strengthen us and to encourage our hearts and souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Now this means you haven't, exactly what it says, you haven't been, had blood drawn resisting sin or sinful men, which, you know, that means we can resist sinning a lot. I mean, we can have things stolen from us or, you know, persecuted or slandered or mistreated or abused, but we continue to resist, you know, sin. We don't buy into sin, and we say no matter how much hostility or how many threats come against us. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So here's the exhortation. Don't despise the chastening, the discipline of the Lord or his rebukes. Don't get discouraged, okay? Because the Lord loves you, he chastens you. Now this is a severe, a chastening is not an easy thing. It implies actually physical punishment or a beating to chasten. So it's a severe correction. That's why it's possible that, you know, you could despise it or become discouraged. Don't get that way. He says, don't, because the Lord loves you. He's proving his love to you. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? And that implies a father who loves his son and wants to save them from destruction. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So this is a good indication to see if someone is in the fellowship of Christians and he is in sin and the Lord is not chastening that person, his wickedness continues and they go on in it, they are probably not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subject to the Father of spirits and live? So here he's making the analogy that have earthly fathers correct us, and so we need to be subject to our Father in heaven, who cares for us even more so than an earthly father, as he is our creator. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So, of course, we all, you know, we cry when we get a beating or have to go stand in the corner or we've done something wrong, you know. But it brings about correct behavior. It brings about straight behavior and honest integrity when you are trained by this. So this is a training. God is training us. He's chastising us. He's rebuking us. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. So here the author is saying, look, strengthen your hands, okay? Your hands are what you execute your thought life with, okay? That you put your hands to, it's happened in your mind. The thought comes into your mind and you put your hands in it. So put your hands and your feeble knees, your knees have to be strengthened in order for your feet to walk in straight paths. So here the author is talking about, and then what is lame won't get dislocated. So your thinking isn't dislocated, but you're healed by the correction of the Lord, and you walk in the righteous path. You walk in a straight and narrow path. Okay? It's a path of integrity and truth. This is what the peaceable fruit of righteousness is. This is what the training of the Lord is to make a straight path. God straightens you out. It's like a tree that begins to go crooked. And then God will put an agriculturist will put a stick and bind the tree to the stick so that it will grow straight. And this stick has already been cut and is a straight stick. So the tree will grow, the sapling will grow straight. Verse 14, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see God. Okay, so in order to see God, to perceive Him, to understand Him, to see Him, His eternal attributes, you must be holy. And the reference is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You cannot understand who God is unless you are pure. To the pure I will show myself pure. To the crooked I will show myself crooked. To the shrewd I will show myself shrewd. It says, I believe in Isaiah somewhere. And that means God's going to deal with you according to what's going on inside of you, if you're His son or His daughter. And so we need to pursue peace, to make peace, and walk in holiness, or we're not going to understand and perceive who God is and how He operates. Looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now, when I heard this, my understanding is that we need to understand how God deals with us, and we need not to be discouraged or despise it, and we need to be diligent. We say, you know what, God's bringing some correction here. I need to listen, and I need to obey. I need to allow Him to rein me in and put me on the right path, because if we don't, we'll fall short. If we don't understand what the Lord is doing in our life, then we will become bitter. We will be despise what's happening. Oh, poor me. And we'll be discouraged. And a root of bitterness will come into our heart towards God. And it will grow up and spring up. And soon it will be a mighty tree. And we are defiled. And that tree will have to be uprooted. And can you imagine? You know, it can make you fall apart. If this tree had gotten too big. The root of bitterness. Okay, that's why in Psalm 95 it says, when God tested the children of Israel by the waters of Meribah, or the waters of bitterness, He wanted to see what was in their heart and how they would respond. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. So here it is, you know. Esau was a fornicator and profane. He was godless. He didn't care what God said about his birthright. He just wanted to eat. He just wanted his need met. Right then he sold out for a bowl of beans. And there are people who sell out for more or less, pretty much. But we don't want to be like that. When God brings a discipline, when he holds back or withdraws, you know, whether it be food or something we want, or disappointments, we need not to become bitter and just turn our back on God. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So then after, when he realized, oh my gosh, Jacob's going to be really blessed, and I really messed up, it was too late. And he couldn't repent, even though he wanted to. It was a done deal. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire, and to blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Okay, so what he's saying, you haven't come to this mountain. This is not the covenant that you're coming to God through. You're not coming under the law and severe discipline, okay, where God is consuming and fearful, and he has the law and the commandments, and you don't have access to him. You have a fearsome place of judgment, the judgments of God. You're not coming to that covenant, but you're coming to Mount Zion. That's the covenant of Yeshua. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So he's talking about the two covenants here, and this is a reference back to as we began in the book of Hebrews. There were two covenants. There was the Mosaic covenant continually, the Levitical priesthood, the law, the sacrifices. There's a continual comparison between these two covenants throughout the entire book of Hebrews. And to Yeshua, the better covenant, where he fulfilled all of the law in him, and he writes it in us, and he brings us, his spirit writes it in our hearts, and it enables us to fulfill that. And that's what the author is saying here, comparatively. Okay, so God is going to discipline you. You are children. Okay? And you haven't come under this old covenant. See? And it was commanded, if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with an arrow. And it's a terrifying, you know, it's heavy judgment. But you've come to Mount Zion. And these are all the promises that in Hebrews chapter 11 it was speaking about. By faith, these men of God, you know, they sacrificed, they did all these things looking for the heavenly city. We have the heavenly covenant, the Ark of the Covenant in heaven. You've come to the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, what they were looking for. And they looked ahead and saw it, and by faith, to all these angels, to all the great cloud of witnesses, and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, okay, the first fruits of the Lord, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men make perfect, all these people are in heaven, this is a great cloud of witness, into the very throne room, into the center of the throne, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. This is what we've come to, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel, because that blood of sprinkling is what cleanses us and gives us access into that heavenly place, whereas before we were barred and we were behind the veil and we could not have access to God. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. So here he's saying, look, this is we have incredible access to God in this covenant that we've been walking. And when God speaks to you, you need to obey. You need to heed his voice and be obedient. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him who speaks from heaven. So here he's saying when God spoke on earth to Moses, and you know, and they would be thrust through with an arrow. I mean, they were like dead meat. They were history. you know, then we can't turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Now we have access into the spiritual realm. Before, men did not have access into the spiritual realm and the dimensions of the spirit as God called us into the heavens, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yes, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now, this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, this is a very, very, very brilliant passage, because in this passage, the author is referring to, okay, the shaking of the temporal and the earthly things. His voice then shook the earth. So everything that's earthly is being shaken from heaven. So those who refuse him who spoke on earth, we cannot turn away from him who speaks from heaven. His voice then shook the earth. So when God speaks from Mount, and the earth shakes, he's saying, I'm going to shake the earth, but also the heavens. And so it means the removal of all those things which are not eternal. They are going to be shaken off of us personally in our lives, so that what is unshakable, the unshakable kingdom, the kingdom of heaven is in you. We know that the kingdom of heaven is eternal. The kingdom of heaven is this kingdom that we've received by grace, this heavenly kingdom, and that we serve God in that eternal realm. It means that we are already, because we have become children of God, we are already living in an eternal kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And that we're just going through this passage, and the things on this earth are going to be shaken off of us because we're receiving this inheritance. The inheritance that God spoke about, that the author spoke about in the beginning. Where he says in Hebrews 3:7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. So we are to hear his voice and enter in to the rest of the Lord. The rest of the Lord is this heavenly company, this Mount Zion, this city of Jerusalem, this mediator of Yeshua. That we no longer enter into Moses' covenant, but into the Messianic covenant, that Yeshua is the Lord, for our God is a consuming fire. Even he's the same God. We have a different covenant. There's the Moses covenant and the higher mediator of the covenant, Yeshua, the fulfillment. So we enter into this spiritual realm because now the Spirit of God, the finger of God, is writing in our hearts and on our minds the commandments and the laws of God. And therefore, when we hear the Spirit of God speak, we're not to harden our voice as in the days of rebellion, but we're to come under the chastisement and the discipline of God, because he is bringing righteousness into our life, and he's purging out the unfruitful works of darkness and the crooked ways in our life. He's making us eternal creatures, and we are inheriting that eternal kingdom. We are already living and abiding on it if we hold fast our confidence and we endure until the end and run the race to win, that we don't flake out and miss the high calling, and that we don't turn in rebellion when the chastisement and the discipline, the sufferings come, that we turn to God and we surrender and commit ourselves to him, and that he work out and straighten out his paths and his commandments and his laws in us. He is a good Father. He is a wonderful Father, and he has made a way for us. And we are surrounded, we are enduring this race, and we are setting our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher. And we are considering him so that we are not discouraged, that we continue to resist sin, because he's given us the covenant of grace, the blood of Yeshua, to work in us. And we have this working in us if we crucify and allow the crucified work of Christ to operate in us, that he crucifies the flesh, and we resist sin. We resist it. And so this is our great hope, that we become closer and closer and more filled with a light, more filled with a word of righteousness. As it says, you know, here earlier in Hebrews, before we discussed that, you know, what are you still babies? What's wrong with you? You know, haven't you left the elementary teachings of God? And you don't want to fall away to renew, you know, us to repentance? No. You know, we want to become mature in the word and skilled in the word of righteousness, that we can discern, right? That we can discern right and wrong, evil and good, so that we can discern evil and righteousness. So that we know what is the good part and the portion that we are supposed to surrender in, and that rest, that foreordained position where God has for us for his will to be done. And this consuming fire, for our God is a consuming fire, is the baptism of fire that Jesus came, like John the Baptist said, I baptize with water for repentance, but one is coming after me who will baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. The baptism of fire is to purge. Our God is consuming fire. He is purging out the flesh and the works of the flesh. He's burning out. He's sanctifying us. He's making us holy. We will be a holy fire. And thereby we walk in the light, and we are bearers of the light, the bearers of his fire and his holiness. And we will be purified and see God, because he is a good father, and he is the author and finisher, and knows how to complete that work which he has begun in us. And praise his name forever. And amen and amen. Father, we thank you. You are a good father, and you are working in us. Lord, we are your poem. We are the pot on the potter's wheel. We are the one that you are fashioning for your purposes as vessels. Some are noble vessels in the house, and some are for not so noble uses. Lord, some are wooden, but you are working the vessels for your house, for your heavenly house. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, God. And we put off those things, and we come into your discipline, and we surrender to it. You are a kind and gracious Lord. We praise you and thank you. Great is your name, and great is your holiness, O Lord. And I thank you for all those who have listened to your wonderful words of life, and that you will continue to work mightily in their lives also. Father, thank you for our mediator, Yeshua, our Savior. Thank you for your Ruach HaKodesh, your fire of holiness in us. Lord, let us burn brighter and have more of you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. This has been produced by Kathleen Pearl, www.kdpirlministries.org. Please feel free to share these with others, copy them. You have my permission, as long as you keep them in the integrity with which they were given. God bless you richly. Goodbye. Ever and ever.